The Lord Jesus tells us, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, brothers and sisters, the scriptures tell us that we are engaged every day in a terrible spiritual battle. Every day of our lives as a Christian, to be a Christian, is to engage in spiritual warfare. It is to take your stand with Christ for the truth and to battle against the devil and his lies, against principalities and powers in high places. And the nature of this warfare, is it is a battle for the truth. It is a battle for the truth. It's a battle to believe and to live by the truth. This battle will take place in your heart every day. It's raging in society all around us, in politics, in families and relationships. It's a conflict against lies, half-truths, and disbelief. This is the real nature of spiritual warfare. It's not physical. It's not a battle that's fought with weapons like guns or swords or airplanes. It's not a fantastical fight the way that the movies portray these kinds of things. But there are real monsters. It's a battle fought every day by faith. It's a battle to believe and to live by the truth. The truth that's revealed to us by God, who cannot lie. Now we can see clearly all through the scriptures the real nature of spiritual warfare, that it's a battle for the truth. It's always been a battle between truth and lies. The Lord tells us that the devil has been a liar from the beginning, that there's no truth in him. He's the father of lies. This is how he operates. He lies and he deceives. When he appeared in the deceitful form of a serpent in the garden, his trickery was to fool Adam and Eve. Did God really say that you can't eat from the tree of knowledge? Can you really trust what God has said to you? Is the devil's line of attack. God says, if you eat the tree, you will die. It's not so. Eat it, and you will become like God and have a knowledge of good and evil. That was the first battle in this spiritual war. And it was over. It was a battle fought over the truth of God's word. Can God's word be trusted? Is God telling us the truth? And our ruin and our fall as the human race came because we believed the lie and not the truth. We wanted to believe the lie and not the truth. But you see the same thing in the fall of the old covenant people, the church of Israel. They fell into ruin and were sent into exile because they believed lies. They turned away from the living God. They refused to listen to his word through the prophets, but worshipped idols. And you will find that time and time again, the prophets don't use the word idols, but they call them lies. Israel, you're worshipping lies. People did not listen to the truth, but they believed in lies. And then you see it most clearly when the battle comes to a head, the most decisive moment in the whole spiritual conflict, when our Lord Jesus comes himself as our Savior. And he's sent by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, and he's attacked by the evil one. And how does the devil confront the Lord Jesus? Not with outright threats, not with a powerful assault, but with lies, with a temptation to turn from the truth and believe in deceit. He says to him, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. It's a temptation to deny what the Lord knew and believed was true. It was a temptation to deny what God had said to him, even as a man, through the scriptures, at his baptism, you are my beloved Son. And the devil comes with this line of attack, if you are the Son of God. Can you really trust what God has said? But hallelujah, our Lord Jesus is the truth. There's no lie that can deceive him. There's no darkness in him. And he sees right through it and he drives off the devil with the truth. He answers to every temptation, it is written. This is what God has said and this is the truth. Even, he says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And it's by the power of truth, believing the truth, that our Lord Jesus won the victory. But you see it all the way through his earthly ministry, that he was contending in a battle for the truth. So then when the devil attacks him through his servants, through his children, the Lord was contending with the craftiness and the hypocrisy and the trickery of the Pharisees and the religious teachers, as you see in our passage in John 8. The Lord tells them they must believe his word to be saved. They must believe in the truth. Who he is, the Son of God, come from God as Savior of the world. They must believe in his word, the truth that comes from his lips. And then they will truly be free. They'll be set free from sin. As he goes on to say to them, whoever sins is a slave of sin, in bondage to sin. He says, believe in my word, you'll be set free. You'll be set free from the condemnation, from the power, from the guilt of sin. To be set free is our Lord's way of saying here, all the wonderful grace of salvation is to be free. Free to know God and to be with God. And he says the way to God, the way to life, freedom, salvation, is you must believe his word, the truth. You must trust it, obey it, live it, abide in it. But what you hear in this conflict between them is they will not believe his word. They accuse him of being a liar. They attack his character. He's delusional. He's a deceiver. It's very likely when they're talking about we're not guilty of fornication, they're saying that their history they're so proud of in their self-righteousness as Jews is they're saying, well, we've always been faithful and believed. We know who God is. Who are you? And perhaps there was a subtle slur aimed at the Lord Jesus, whose own earthly parentage was somewhat mysterious in the eyes of people. But they won't believe his word. Who does he think he is to claim such authority, to act and to speak as if he is the Son of God? Who are you? Who do you think you are, Jesus, to say and do these things that only God could say or do? But then you see that the Lord sees right through this. He sees right through to the real nature of this debate, that they're not sincere, that their hearts are not right. They want to follow the lies. They don't want the truth. And so they're not of God. He says to them, look, actually, you're engaging in spiritual warfare. You're children of the devil. You're acting like him. You're doing things his way. He tells them the truth, but they will not listen to him. All those who know the truth will listen to him. You see what the Lord's doing here? He's exposing the work of the devil. He's exposing it. Devil loves to work in darkness, undercover and in secret, and to spread his lies and deceits in subtle ways, in ways that at first appear to be the truth. that cleave closely to the truth and then diverge. And he works through agents and through good causes, through people who believe they're acting for righteousness' sake. His lies are clever and subtle, but the Lord exposes it. And it's as if he gets right down to the heart of it, and he says, no, no, the real issue here is your hearts are not right. You don't want me to be the Son of God. Because he was challenging them about their sin. They don't want the truth. And he exposes that what's really going on here is their resistance, their love of lies, is because it comes from the evil one. So I hope you see it in just a brief few examples that the real nature of spiritual warfare is it is a battle of truth against lies. That's the front line. It's the battle to believe and to live by the truth. And this is such an important point to grasp, because there are two extremes that we could wander off or fall into as the Lord's people. The first is, when it comes to spiritual warfare, to lean more towards the fantastical and dramatic things like, you know, exorcisms that you might see in the movies and bizarre phenomena. But then on the other extreme, there's an attitude that would seem to deny that there is any kind of real spiritual warfare, as if the devil is no longer around or active, as if it's something we just don't give any attention to. And that's why it's so important to actually grasp where real spiritual warfare takes place, is it's in this battle for the truth, in your heart, in how you live, and in the truth that our society believes in. That's spiritual warfare. It takes place wherever there's a contest for truth. It's a battle, brothers and sisters, that you fight by faith. By faith. Now, what I mean by that is faith is taking God at his word. Taking God at his word. Faith is not some nebulous, warm feeling of trust or a vague belief in God. Faith is an intelligent, conscious trust that what God says is true. It's not even really about you and what's subjectively going on inside you. It's about the objective that God's word is true and real. And you are going to get in line with it and live by it and believe it. It's believing God's word. And the whole of the Christian life is a battle on this very point. Every day to just believe the truth. What God says is true. What he says about himself and about salvation. What he says about life and reality. What he says, what he commands us to do in his law. To be a Christian is to fight that battle by faith every day. To be a Christian is to fight against doubts and deceptions and denials. In a sense, you could say we are in the garden every day. Every day the devil tempts us and says, has God really said that? Is that really true? Can you really trust what God has spoken? And every day, that's the battle. Think with me about what this battle looks like in a Christian's heart. What does that battle look like in a Christian's heart? Well, the devil may attack you with intellectual doubts. Intellectual doubts. The Bible records God's supernatural works. For example, that the Lord made the heavens and the earth in 7 days. Out of nothing, he made everything. He has performed incredible miracles that defy our understanding. He parted the Red Sea. He sent fire down on Elijah's altar. The Lord Jesus performed too many mighty works to list them all. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He walked on water. He calmed the storm. And then he himself, perhaps the greatest miracle of all, incarnate, born of a virgin. That the devil might attack the truth of all of these things in your heart. He might bring intellectual doubts. Because science, as we think of it today, science cannot and never will understand these things. They are, by definition, works and acts of God above the natural, ordinary way of things. They are the acts of a God who is transcendent, who is above all, who sustains all, a God who can do anything. And they were rare, they were unusual events, even in most cases unique and unrepeatable events. So the voice of skepticism comes, and it can sound so plausible, wrapped up with intellectual objections. How can these things possibly be true? I've never seen anyone raised from the dead. Now, don't get me wrong. It's good to ask difficult questions. It's good to wrestle with these things and to seek the truth. As Christians, we are not to turn off our minds. We are rational. We are to use our minds fully to the glory of God. But we are not rationalistic and only believing what we understand. Faith is something greater. Because sooner or later, Christian, there will be some intellectual objection that you will have to wrestle with, where you won't be able to get a satisfactory, natural, scientific explanation for it. Whether that's going to be for you, the belief in creation or miracles or the virgin birth. And ultimately, what it will come down to, the test will come, is will you trust what God says, even though you don't understand it? It's this same battle of truth versus lies. Will you trust that what God says is true? In a different way, the devil loves to raise doubts about a Christian's salvation. Are you really saved? What about all the horrible sins in your life? How could God love you? You must be one of those hypocrites. You're not good enough to be a Christian. And other such dark thoughts. There is a right time and place for self-examination. That's a good Christian duty. And we should strive with all our might to walk closely with God and be holy. And a true Christian will need to grow. But there will be a genuine change of heart and life. But the devil's attacks are not like that. He will leave you downcast, discouraged, crushed by guilt. He wants you to doubt that you are saved. He wants you to doubt God's love for you. He wants you to cast dishonor on Christ by doubting his sufficiency to save you. And in the end, when you're in that struggle, when you're in the battle on this point, what it will really come down to is, will you believe God's word? That God promises, whosoever calls on Jesus Christ will be saved. God promises that if you believe in Christ, you are forgiven. You are justified. You are righteous in his sight. And you will look hard at yourself. The devil will turn your eyes inward. And you will see nothing but a pit of sin at times. That there's no good thing in you. And it would seem hopeless. But God says, believe my word. That his salvation is by grace alone. Through faith alone. In Christ alone. It's what his son has done. And God says he accepts it. And accepts you for it. And this is where the battle will be fought. Will you believe what God says? The battle in a Christian's heart is, in fact, so often just to believe the gospel. To believe that the promise is true, even though you're a terrible sinner. And he really does love you. That's the truth. And Christ really has redeemed you, Christian. That's the truth. And so often what we need is not new truths to discover, but to believe and firmly hold to what we know is true. Or consider too, when a Christian suffers, when they suffer injustice, sickness, poverty, the devil sees it as an opportunity to deceive you. That's how the attack will come. The doubt will come. Has God abandoned you? Why is this happening to you? If you're a Christian, if God is so good. And that kind of attack, it comes as a surprise to many Christians, because we sometimes wrongly expect that because we are in the Lord, that somehow we'll be carried on angels' wings through all our trials and somehow not feel them. Like Daniel's friends emerged from the fire, not even singed. We think we're going to just bound through the troubles and sufferings of life with a single leap, and somehow if we don't, we're failures as Christians. It's another lie of the devil. But in fact, times of suffering and weakness can be moments that are the hardest moments of the battle. They can be the hardest spiritual battles in your life. And what it will come down to is this, is you must trust that what God says is true. Even when all your circumstances seem to be against it, when you're walking in darkness and God's presence doesn't seem to be there, when it all seems to have failed, that then you still say, I trust the Lord. That's the battle of spiritual warfare. That in the valley, you keep believing, you keep walking, you keep trusting that God's word is true. And that's the battle you fight in suffering. In a different way, it's the same battle when it comes to the church's evangelism and mission. Churches so often fail to trust God, that what he says in his word is true. And we become timid and fearful, and we don't engage in evangelism, because we don't really believe that it will accomplish anything. We doubt what God says about it. And in fact, we'd be rather surprised if someone really was converted. Because we've stopped believing that God's promises are true. The promise, the truth, that the Holy Spirit will help us, that God will bless the preaching of the gospel. God promises the truth. It will bear fruit. And maybe not immediately, maybe not something that you see all of, but he promises it bears fruit. His word does not return void. And that's a truth we must believe and act upon. Do we? Do we as a church? Or sometimes churches limit what they do to just their own human resources and abilities, instead of boldly getting on with the work and trusting that God will provide as he has said. Again, the real issue is, will we believe the truth, what God says and promises, and act on it? Has God promised to bless the preaching of the gospel? Has he promised that his Holy Spirit is with his church? Is it true? So these are the kinds of battles of the heart, in your mind, your conscience, that you will have every day as a Christian. It's the battle to believe the truth. And this is real spiritual warfare. But looking outside of ourselves, brothers and sisters, we really do need to understand the times that we live in. What's really going on in the world around us? All the confusion and turmoil around the world. What's really going on is, it is spiritual warfare. And it is a battle for the truth against lies. We live in a time when the forces of darkness have taken a lot of ground. Truth lies fallen in the public square. Even the most obvious, undeniable truths about reality, about creation, human nature, about God, gender, they are denied. They are perverted. They are flipped upside down. Much of day-to-day life is characterized by lies, filled with deceit, fake news and propaganda, deceit in relationships, unfaithfulness, cheating, dishonesty, in business, a lack of candor. The enemy has even advanced within the walls of Jerusalem, even within the visible church. There are lies, there is false teaching. There are those in the highest offices who, by biblical standards, have no calling to be there. The times are late. It is much more serious than perhaps many of us would like to think, but we cannot stick our heads in the sand like ostriches. We must accept the reality of the low spiritual state of times, that lies are on the rise. But how do we fight in this spiritual conflict? With the truth. That we stand firm on the truth and we live by it and we proclaim it. And confident in the truth that the gates of hell shall never prevail against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth will prevail. But now, more than ever as a Christian, you need to be preparing yourself, steeling yourself, training yourself to stand for the truth, to stand firm for the truth according to Jesus Christ. The battle's only going to get more intense in the days ahead. The Lord tells us this is how we fight. We must abide in his word. This is how to win this spiritual conflict every day of your life. Abide in his word. Let me just open up a little of what that really means. It means first we believe in the word of God. We believe in the holy scriptures. God has inspired them. God has spoken them through his prophets and his apostles. And then supremely, through his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has committed his words, his spoken words, to text, to writing, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through chosen people, preserved and given. Men were empowered to set down God's word, even down to the last dot of an I and cross of a T. Or as the Lord Jesus put it, down to the smallest jot and tittle, the smallest strokes of a pen, were inspired by God's hand. There's not time in a sermon like this to present all the reasons why you should accept the Bible as the word of God. But the most important, and really there are no others needed, is because the Holy Spirit himself testifies that it is so. And the Lord Jesus Christ testifies that it is so. Search the scriptures to see what the Lord Jesus taught and said about the word of God. That he said it could not be broken, and he lived his whole life by it, that it proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. The scriptures are the word of God. Here we stand. And our firm foundation is that the truth has been made known and declared. It's an unshakable rock. It's firm and it's fixed. Postmodernism has destroyed our society and all the bonds and building blocks that held us together. It's destroyed them. It's been chipping away at the foundations, and now it's all coming down. Until now, most people no longer believe there is objective truth. You can't really know the truth. There's only opinion and perspective, and they're all equally valid. And people only claim to know the truth because they're using it for power. All claims to know the truth are just attempts to take control. What a clever lie that is from the evil one, to get people to doubt everything, to lose all faith and certainty. But we have hope. We have certainty as the Lord's people. God cannot lie, and he has spoken in his word. Take the scriptures to your heart. Stand firm on the scriptures. They are the word of God, all of them, to be firmly trusted. You can stake your life and eternal destiny upon what the scriptures say. When all around you people are building on sand, build on the solid rock of the word of Jesus Christ. Here is true truth. And however we get that message out, that's the word that people drowning in a sea of relativism need. Do not be ashamed of it, but be steadfast and firm. Let us confess we believe in the word of God. But alongside that, let us also, in the right spirit, be humble. Because we should also personally acknowledge that we can be deceived. We don't know everything. And we could even misunderstand some things in the scriptures. Although they are clear, the faults are in us. Even our brains and best thinking are tainted by sin. The devil himself quotes scripture. And we're all going to have to learn to understand and receive the truth in the scriptures. We have to humbly submit to the word of God. It's all about your attitude towards hearing the word of God. When it challenges us, when it corrects us, when it says something that goes against our flesh and our thoughts and our inclinations, we must humbly submit ourselves to the word of God. It's right and not us. We've got to place ourselves under it, not to criticize it or to judge it or pull it apart, but to let it judge us. Let it search and try us. It's right, not us. Let's be humble that there's much darkness in all of us. All of us have told lies. We all need to grow. We need the Spirit as our teacher. And so what that means is that we must be discerning. The great need of the hour, brothers and sisters, is discernment, wisdom, to be alert and watchful. Do not mindlessly accept just whatever you're told. Don't just mindlessly accept what you might say and believe to yourself. Spot your own ignorance, your own prejudices. Test and search and examine everything by the word of God. Think of how often the scriptures warn us to test the spirits. Test everything. Search the scriptures. As best you can, bring everything to be viewed and examined by the light. Every truth claim, every philosophy, every sermon, every slogan, every belief or teaching, whether in church, even in this one, or out there in work and society, bring it to the word of God. Does it match? Does it line up with the truth according to God? Today, it just seems like we jump on every latest bandwagon, following every new theory or movement, just uncritically accepting what authorities tell us. We believe what we want to hear. We just listen to the sources who already agree with us. The internet is terrible for that. People huddle in their own little sealed bubbles of opinion and blacklist those who think differently. Christians can be guilty of all of these things. We must practice discernment. Test everything. Ask the hard questions and bring everything to the touchstone of Scripture, the only infallible rule and guide. Is it true according to the word of God? Test your own thoughts, lest we deceive ourselves and believe the lies we tell ourselves. Bring everything to the word of God. And by practice, by searching the scriptures, coming in that spirit, by God's grace, we develop our spiritual discernment. We develop a taste for the truth. If I could put it this way, I always think fondly of our brother Murdo Alec, and he had the most wonderful palate. And I can remember talking about different kinds of food with him, and because of his experience tasting things for many years as a chef, he would eat something and he'd be able to tell you what was in it. All the different ingredients and too much of this or too much of that. And he could taste things I couldn't taste. My palate was untrained. And it's like that with the truth. It's as you feed upon the word of God, as you are immersed in it, as you abide in it, as you love it, your taste grows. You grow in your ability to spot the difference between the truth and the lies. This is how you fight in spiritual warfare. This is the real battle. So abide in Christ's word means love his word. Love his word. Give yourself to it. Read the scriptures. Pray the scriptures. Hear the scriptures read and preached. The most powerful, the most radical, the most helpful thing, you could say the most subversive thing you can do in our world, is to listen to the word of God. There's nothing more important. Believe it. You want to make a difference? You want to help people? What the world so desperately needs is the truth. The truth of God and Christ. And everything else revolves around him. People are just robbed of any real meaning to life, any certainty without truth. And what you're seeing is life is turning into an endless series of conflicts between different groups, because there's no belief in a truth that's above and transcendent that unites us all. You help, you make a difference by standing on the truth revealed from heaven and given in Jesus Christ. This is how you fight this battle every day. Refuse to give in to even the smallest lie, but mold your whole life to be in step with the truth. Resolve that you will be a person of integrity. You're someone who'll live by the truth, even if it costs you. Love the truth so much, you will suffer for it. If it costs you your job, or friendships, or reputation, love the truth so much that you'd be willing to suffer for it. Because God says it's true. When they come and they want you to deny human nature and gender, when they want you to deny that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only God and Savior, when the devil wants you to doubt, fight the good fight. Pick up the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Stand firm on the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Put all your trust upon it. Abide in his word. And fight this spiritual battle every day. And the truth will set you free. Let us pray. Our God and Father, you are the God of truth. You are the God who cannot lie. And we are sorry, Lord, that we have all told lies and believed lies. We have all gone astray and been deceived. But in your great grace, you have shone the light of your truth into our darkness. You have sent the Son, and he has revealed the truth to us. And we pray, O Lord, that in this very real spiritual battle every day, you would give us grace to believe the truth. Lord, may we abide in your word. We pray, O Lord, that you would give us gifts of discernment, that we would test and search everything according to the word of God. We pray for humble hearts, Lord, that when we are confronted by things that are difficult, that challenge our sins, our flesh, Lord, give us humble hearts to submit and obey to them. And we pray, O Lord, that you would give us boldness to speak the truth. Lord, we confess that we cannot do this in our own strength. And so please, Lord, help us when we are distracted, when there are obstacles that come in the way of reading and hearing the scriptures. Please, Lord, stir up within us a zeal, a desire that we must have the word of God. Plant within us, Lord, a love for the word. And in everything, Lord, we thank you for the one who died for us, who gave himself to sanctify us. And he sanctified us by your word. Your word is truth. For his sake, make us a people of the truth, we pray, who fight this battle. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.